Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you on this Monday morning. Trust you're having a pleasant beginning to a brand new week in your life. And we want to talk this week about what is ahead of us. Just a few days from now, Thanksgiving obviously will be in view and in full swing as people are preparing. They've made their reservations. They're going to be flying around the country in different places from around the world, actually, to come into this country to celebrate with friends and family. So again, a lot of activity going on in the world in which we live, as always. But this week is a special week, and it is an opportunity for a shift in the atmosphere as we consider so many different things around and about us. And I believe it's time to give pause to this moment. And it's not just a national holiday or a national festival that we have in mind here, but for the Christian reality, for men and women who are Bible-believing, Jesus-loving, you know, word-reading men and women of God, our faith as Christians is deeply rooted in Thanksgiving. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But I wanted to start this Monday morning off with going back through the story that you've probably been hearing since you were a little boy or a little girl, when the history of Thanksgiving was brought into view, and through the years you've heard the stories. And it's like reading the Bible. I've read the Gospel of Matthew before, but how many times have I read it? And so to hear the story again and again, it refreshes us. And remember, the apostles were never afraid to remind the people. I will constantly, said Peter, bring you into remembrance of the things you once knew. And so we want to go back and just kind of get a shift in our thinking by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want to, you know, and anybody could do this. And I'm just so glad that you tuned into this radio broadcast today. And I pray that along the way, the Holy Spirit will drop nuggets of gold and some valuable things into your spirit so that you could get on with your day. But as a community of men and women that have found our way into this Blog Talk radio station, YouTube, Omega Radio, we just want to say thank you for joining us, and we're glad to be with you, obviously. So let's get back to the story that we all grew up with, the untainted story of the first Thanksgiving. The pilgrims who landed on Cape Cod in November 1620 were devout followers of Christ who had left the comforts of home, family, and friends to pursue their vision of a renewed and reformed Christianity. There's so much truth packed into that one statement, and I love the way that we begin with the pilgrims, because the pilgrims are the real founding fathers and mothers of our nation. The pilgrims. Who are these pilgrims? We're going to learn a lot more about them as we go. But the idea of their coming to this continent was to produce a reformation in what their Christian faith was to be all about. And so they were not whiners, but chose to maintain an attitude of gratitude even through the most trying times, such as the winter of 1620 and 1621, when sickness ravaged their community and half of them, about 50, were taken away in death. You know, we go back to 1620, and we are, what, in the year 2020, we're talking 400 years ago or 399 years ago. And some people say that we're going to be going into a very harsh winter, and nobody knows what lies ahead. The Almanac tells us it's going to be a bitter cold winter, and it seems like there are some things happening in the weather patterns already. But can you imagine that these first pioneers, these pilgrims that came to this continent again for the liberty of their faith? In other words, the whole idea was to worship God, worship the Lord Jesus Christ, worship the Trinity, worship the deity, worship the Creator and his Son, Jesus Christ, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And where they were on the other side of the Atlantic, their faith was being suppressed. They were allowed to say this. They weren't allowed to say this. They were allowed to do this. They weren't allowed to do that. Indulgences were running rampant. The state church was taking control of everything. And so what was once a fresh wind of worship had become so oppressed and suppressed by religion itself, the state of religion, that these people were literally fleeing for their lives, not only in this world, but the one to come, lest God forbid that their faith would wane and they would sink into the morbidity of the times. But they decided to do something. And you and I have to continually think about that. These people decided to do something rather than just get cooked. So the first Thanksgiving was celebrated by the pilgrims after they gathered in their harvest in the fall of 1621, about 1 year after their landing at Cape Cod. Although their hearts were still heavy from the losses suffered the previous winter, there were at least three areas for which they felt particularly grateful to God. So consider, if we go back 400 years now, to 1620. Here they are. They're coming 400 years ago, right? I mean, that's for some reason, that's really sticking with me, that we're coming to the 400 year mark. It's amazing, actually. There's a lot to say about 400 years in civilizations. And so we're at 399 years ago. These people come here and they face not only the harsh traveling from the European continent to this North American continent through the seas and through the Atlantic, and they come here and they face one of the harshest winters ever. They've never known anything like this, and they're struggling. They're struggling. Half their population was taken out. I did a whole Bible study yesterday about half the population of the world in the last days is going to be taken out, of the whole world. We're talking 3.5 billion people. It was a great study yesterday and very, sobering to what the Bible says will be in these last days. But nonetheless, half of their people were taken away. They go through that harsh winter, and they come out, and they found three things particularly that they could be thankful for in spite of the harshness of their times. Number one, with the arrival of spring, the sickness that had immobilized the community and taken many of them in death had lifted. So the community of believers, of pilgrims, who made this journey had been sick because they weren't used to the kind of harsh conditions. And in the spring, a year later, that sickness began to lift and the people survived. There were survivors. And then number two, with the arrival of spring, God providentially sent to them an English-speaking Native American named Squanto, who became their interpreter and guide, helping them establish friendly relations with Massawat, chief of the Wampanoag, the nearest and most powerful tribe in the region. Now, you know, when I think about this story, this part of the story, that this English-speaking Native American named Squanto, okay, and I, from what I understand, he was trained in the European continent. And remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, it says the angel of the Lord went before them, that the angel of God was among them. Well, is it possible that this man they called Squanto was like an angel from God, that here he is helping these people through some of these times? It's very amazing to me. So again, in March of 1621, they had signed an agreement of peace and mutual aid with Massasoit, which resulted in both peoples moving freely back and forth in friendship and trade. So this Massasoit tribe, because of Squanto, was at peace with the pilgrims a year after their sufferings, and they're now able to start trading, and friendship was developing. And the third reason that they thought that they should give thanks was that through hard work and Squanto's advice about farming and fishing, they experienced abundant harvests during the summer and fall of 1621. Isn't that awesome? I mean, there's so much to that. How do you get in there and really break that apart when you think of 100 people that were on these ships that left their comfort of the European continent, but they didn't want the strangulation of their faith in God. So they had the inspiration to come. They come and they lose half of their people while they're here. And only God knows how many were lost, and we'll get the numbers on that in just a moment, while they were traveling over the seas. But they show up here, and they go through this very harsh time. But then, through their endurance, all of a sudden, things begin to change 1 year later. And it's interesting that the times we're living in right now is that we are looking, we're getting ready to move into conditions kind of like this again. We're moving into conditions that have been prophesied are going to be harsh times. And there will be a lot of people that will not make it through. And yet God will call a people into the wilderness. To that, there's no doubt. And I believe that the same way that God took care of these people, because they did not take care of themselves. And when you read in Revelation chapter 12, it says that God has prepared a place for them, and that they are going to feed them and nourish them for 3.5 years. God's got some things lined up, and we need to know about it. But getting back to how this nation began, I mean, this is amazing. Englishmen and Native Americans celebrate together. At the beginning of this nation, the first Thanksgiving was attended by an approximate equal number of English pilgrims and Native Americans. After Governor Bradford announced the day of Thanksgiving, word of the event soon spread to their Native American friends. When the day arrived, not only were there individual natives on hand, but Massasoit arrived, that's the tribe, with 90 of his people, the Massasoit tribe, and Massasoit was the leader. He arrived with 90 of his people and 5 dressed deer to add to the meals the pilgrims had prepared. The pilgrims did not seek to force their faith on the Indians, but neither did they hide their faith. One can only imagine the emotions that filled their hearts as, in the presence of their new Native American friends, they joined Elder William Brewster in lifting up their hearts in praise and thanksgiving to God. And not only did they enjoy meals together with thankful hearts, but they engaged in shooting matches, foot races, and wrestling matches. It was such an enjoyable time that the one day of Thanksgiving was extended for 3 full days. And yes, it is almost certain that there was turkey at the first Thanksgiving, for Governor Bradford had sent out 4 men to hunt for fowl, who returned with enough fowl to last them an entire week. And so again, you're getting the flavor, the juice, the anointing of that moment. 400 years ago, when the pilgrims were celebrating and giving thanks because their governor was a Christian man that determined a day to set aside after all the harshness and things were now settling down to give thanks to God, that those who made it, those who remained, were going to give thanks to God rather than pine away in their sorrow for all their losses. They found things to give thanks to God for. What a remarkable, remarkable story this first Thanksgiving is. And they found friendship among the Native Americans. Praise God. Well, it goes deeper than that. Thanksgiving for a remarkable answer to prayer. The next recorded Thanksgiving day. Now, it's kind of sad that we're going to rush too quickly away from the very first day of Thanksgiving in this country. Because again, the flavor of that is so rich. It's like a memory has just been brought to us, and we're thinking about the simplicity. And today's modern scholars of history want to change the whole idea about everything. The world is changing so quickly. So it's so refreshing to know the simplicity of the first Thanksgiving was a Christian time of Thanksgiving. And they were sharing their faith with their surrounding neighbors. And without, you know, being oppressive, they were just living it out in front of them, giving thanks to God. But watch this. A year later, the next recorded Thanksgiving Day among the pilgrims was celebrated in the fall of 1623 after a remarkable answer to prayer that saved their harvests. Governor Bradford tells how the summer of 1623 was unusually hot with no rain whatsoever. As the blazing sun beat down day after day, the land became parched and the corn, their primary staple, began to dry up along with other vegetables they had planted. Alone in the New England wilderness, it looked as though hunger would be their lot in the days ahead and maybe starvation. It was a very critical moment in time. Facing such drought and bleak conditions, Bradford called the Plymouth settlement to a day of humiliation and prayer. By humiliation, he meant a recognition and repentance for the human tendency to trust in one's own human strength and ability rather than in God. Their day of humiliation and prayer began, like the many preceding days, very hot, with not a single cloud in the sky. But before the day was over, God gave them, Bradford said, and I quote, a gracious and speedy answer, both to their own and the Indians' admiration that lived amongst them. Bradford goes on to say, and here's the quote, for all the morning and the greatest part of the day, it was clear weather and very hot, and not a cloud or any sign of rain to be seen. Yet toward evening, it began to overcast, and shortly after to rain with such sweet and gentle showers as gave them cause of rejoicing and blessing God. It came without wind or thunder or any violence. And by degrees in that abundance, as that the earth was thoroughly wet and soaked, which did so apparently revive and quicken the decayed corn and other fruits, as was wonderful to see, and made the Indians astonished to behold. And afterwards the Lord sent them such seasonable showers with interchange of fair weather, as through his blessing caused a fruitful and liberal harvest, to there's no small comfort and rejoicing, for which mercy, in time convenient, they also set apart a day of thanksgiving. Wow. Again, here's the rich history of a people who came to this continent and brought the presence of God. They were Christian men and women, and they built in the 1600s, but they went through such harsh times. Their journey was hard, but they were strengthened by the inner strengthening of the Spirit of God in their inner man, and they endured. And for those who did not endure, those who died in the journey crossing the Atlantic, those who died in that first harsh winter, those who died because of the sickness and the disease, and those who died in the hard times of famine and those types of things, they started out and they were not able to complete for one reason or another, but they too, who love the Lord, will be the children of the resurrection. And they were part in this whole movement. But to those who really stood, that they began a government in this land with a governor. A Christian government was the first government to be established in the United States of America. Governor Bradford was their governor. That was the government. Now, the Native Indians, they had their tribal leaders. They had a form of government, no doubt. But the formal government of the nation of the United States of America was the Christian government, and it was intertwined with the Native American, the first people of this country. And thank God these early pilgrims did not meet up with the hostile forces of other Indian tribes that would have murdered them or killed them, but God sent them Squanto. I mean, an angel from heaven, Squanto, was the one that helped these few survivors. And what grew out of that? Well, when we go forward in the story, these days of Thanksgiving were observed by succeeding generations, but at various times in different places as deemed appropriate and necessary by the local inhabitants. As the colonists began to form themselves into a nation, these days of Thanksgiving began to be nationalized and made part of the national consciousness and calendar. For example, the Continental Congress, which met between 1774 and 1789, 5 years, issued several calls for days of humiliation, prayer, and Thanksgiving. The first one was to be observed on November 28th, 1782. The proclamation reads in part, and I quote, "It being the indispensable duty of all nations, not only to offer up their supplications to Almighty God, the giver of all good, for his gracious assistance in times of distress, but also in a solemn and public manner to give him praise for his goodness in general and especially for great and signal interpositions of his providence in their behalf." You know, there's no doubt as we continue to read this story that God had his mind on these pilgrims, that God was with these people. He was with them in Europe. He was with them. The omnipresent God was there, but God had inspired them. It's almost as that God had put it in their hearts to take this journey. And even though there was suffering and hardship and trial, God was with them. And those that endured with him, God gave them the Indian. God sent them the rain. God taught them how to have harvest. And yes, there was trouble. You know, when God took the nation of Israel out of Egypt, he went before them in the wilderness. And he brought water out of a rock. There were hard times. It sounds like the difference between the children of Israel and these few pilgrims is there was a lot more whining and complaining going on amongst the Israeli people who had it pretty well over in Egypt, even though they were slaves and made to double up on their harsh labor. But we don't get that opinion. We don't get that scent of the pilgrims who came here. Yes, they suffered. Yes, there were hardships. Yes, there were struggles and trials. And yet there was endurance and faith and thanksgiving. And you don't get the scent of whining, murmuring, complaining. That's a really bad deal. But you do get the idea that God was with these people, that it was a continent away, that God seemed to have this in mind. Like the children of Israel, when they were told that there's a land that God promised to Abraham that would flow with milk and honey. You know, they had that idea, and there was something that was downloaded in the spirit of these pilgrims that there was another land flowing with milk and honey, and that God had prepared this land to bring his Christian ethic, his spirit, his kingdom, And somehow these people recognized that, and that's why they were able to battle through. They had a vision. They knew something. You know, the children of Israel, by the time they passed out of their wilderness and entered into the promised land, the entire first generation had been taken away, except for the, you know, everybody 20 years and older, 40-year generation through the wilderness. They were lost. Only their children entered in with two of the original, which was Joshua and Caleb. You know the story. There's such a similarity here, but it is different. And God seems to have had his mark on this part of the earth. You know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and everything in the planet belongs to God. It's not only Israel. He chose that as a covenant place for Abraham and his seed in the natural. But God was doing another work, and he brought, just like that promised land had the Canaanites, well, there were hostile forces in this land as well, not all together. And yet God brought a people, and it started, and the people acknowledged, and they gave thanks to God. Listen to this. Shortly after being sworn in as president, now we're talking here, okay, we're now from 1621, we're now talking about 1789, okay? So we're talking a good 150, 160 years down the road. So there's a lot of history in those 160 years between the pilgrims and then the colonies, okay? Well, shortly after being sworn in as president, George Washington issued a proclamation designating November 26th, 1789, as a day of thanksgiving wherein all citizens should offer gratitude to God for his protection, care, and many blessings. It was the first Thanksgiving Day designated by the new national government of the United States. And the proclamation reads in part this way, and I quote, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God." What is it? Their duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people. So this is George Washington saying that the houses requested of him, George Washington, to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Boy, we need to pick that apart. We need to boil that down. This is the first government. This is the first president of the United States recognized within the national reality of the United States of America. This is the colony. This is the fighting, the revolution, the battle, you know, to keep this nation and to dedicate it. It was dedicated 160 years earlier, somewhere right around there, by the early pilgrims, the Plymouth Rock pilgrims, the Cape Cod pilgrims, the people that God blessed and favored who survived their journey and hardships. I mean, this is amazing. And so, please allow me, because there's more to this statement, but I want to repeat what I just read one more time. I want to break it down, let it sink in. I want to savor these holy words. This is George Washington. He said, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States. Notice that, recommend to the people, not demand the people, not command the people, but recommend to the people, because we the people, right? To recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789. Wow. Is that awesome? Is that just absolutely awesome, or is it just me? I mean, I've sensed such life and spirit in these words, but it doesn't end there. A day of thanksgiving to be observed on the last Thursday in November was proclaimed by Abraham Lincoln in 1863 in the midst of the Civil War. In spite of the fact that the nation was at war, Lincoln enumerated the many reasons the inhabitants of America had for being thankful to God. Here's what he said. Abraham Lincoln wrote, "No human counsel hath devised, nor has any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that these blessings should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. End of quote. The President of the United States during the Civil War, the President of the United States during the Revolutionary War. Oh, dear God Almighty, what words they spoke. And there are so many more. The final Thursday in November, set by President Lincoln, continued to be the observed Thanksgiving until December 26, 1941, when President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed a joint resolution of Congress changing the National Thanksgiving Day from the last Thursday in November to the fourth Thursday. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you always have to go back and remember the intended purpose of such a celebration. And obviously, the intended purpose of Thanksgiving was not for the gross, misguided perverseness that we see in secularization of the day and the holiday, but we see a spiritual foundation, a spiritual origin. And that is why it is so refreshing. The nation has at times past been involved in major strife and division, the Civil War. But the call out to God for deliverance, forgiveness, there was confession made. It doesn't get any better than that. Here's a concluding thought. Examining the history and development of our Thanksgiving holiday makes us realize today how far, as a nation, we have removed ourselves from the Christian worldview and faith of our founders. This Thanksgiving Day, our president will go through a silly formality and pardon a turkey, but the depth of faith seen in earlier proclamations, such as those by Washington and Lincoln, is glaringly missing. This is why we must pray for another great spiritual awakening in our land. And I want to pray that our president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, will embody the understanding, the insight, and the wisdom that this day is not about pardoning a turkey, but the Spirit of God would so enrich his own spirit that he too would be reminded of the sincere Christian spiritual origins of this time, when he, like George Washington, like President Abraham Lincoln, is involved in a major strife, a civil war and revolution brewing all around us. May he embody the spirit of the true pilgrims and the founding fathers of the nation and recognize this reality. That is my prayer for the President of the United States, that he will speak words so gracious to the nation as Lincoln, as Washington, as an American president in the midst of civil chaos in a struggling society that has sinned so grossly against Almighty God and seems to have no heart of turning. Today, in spite of the fact that Thanksgiving has become secularized and commercialized, listen, we as Christians must never forget that the day is rooted in the commitment of our forefathers and foremothers to maintain a thankful heart even through the most painful and challenging times. So this Thanksgiving, let's count our blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Wow. I'm touched in my heart deeply by these words, these thoughts that we have shared. I'm touched deeply by them. I hope you are too. I am a Christian. You are a Christian. I am not ashamed to be called a Christian. I only want my life to reflect the meaning of that holy word. Christ-like is what Christian means. I want to remember the foundation and the origin of this moment. I don't want to force anything on anybody. For I know that our family and friends will be gathering us, gathering with us, or we with them. Like the first Christians that met with Indians that knew nothing about this grace of God, this Lord Jesus Christ, this sovereign God of the universe, maybe some did. But they presented before their eyes the character, the context, and the conduct of who they worshiped. May we do the same. May our hearts be filled with gratitude. And even though they didn't force anything upon them, they did not hide their faith either. May we all have the expression of gratitude to give thanks to God without shame or embarrassment or humiliation around those who don't understand the way that we do. So let us be thankful. I desire to be thankful. And now I want to compliment all of these things that we have just shared with a few thoughts. The Word of God is so rich, and it tells us on several occasions what we need to be doing as a humble people. You know, when you read the Psalms, for example, let me just throw some Psalms out there before I get into the New Covenant. In Psalm 18:49, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto your name." In Psalm 30, verse 4, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." We do that today. Psalm 30, verse 12, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, and not be silent, O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." In Psalm 75, verse 1, "Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare." In Psalm 92, verse 1, "It is good to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." In Psalm 97, verse 12, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Psalm 105, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." And then Psalm 106, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And then Psalm 106, 47, "Save us, O Lord, our God. Gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise." Psalm 107, 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Psalm 118, verse 1 and 29, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever." And then in 29, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And then Psalm 119, 62, "At midnight," and it's a midnight season right now, "I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of your righteous judgments." In Psalm 122, verse 4, it talks again about giving thanks. And I could go on and on with all the thanksgiving scriptures. Just in the Psalms, there are so many. But then we read in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10:30, "For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of? For that for which I give thanks." What are you giving thanks for? To God. Why are people speak evil of you for doing that? In Ephesians 1:16, "It's not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers," talking about giving thanks for the body of Christ. In Colossians 1:3, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." And then in 1 Thessalonians 1:2, "We give thanks to God always for you." And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything we give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And then 2 Thessalonians 2:13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you." Boy, there's a lot of thanksgiving going up to God for the gift of Christ. And then just a few verses in the New Testament, with the phrase thanksgiving. Not to give thanks, but thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. What a connection in that verse. Bountifulness and thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. What a great passage. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And in Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer, watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 4:3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 4:4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Oh yes, over that big meal you're going to have this week, give God thanks. Amen. Thanksgiving. And then finally, the last time in Scripture we see the word thanksgiving is in Revelation 7:12. Saying amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Thanksgiving. Well, that's what I wanted to share today. We've got about 15 minutes left in the broadcast. I'd like to open the telephone lines. If you've been tuning into the broadcast, maybe something was deposited in your spirit, a golden nugget, a jewel, a diamond, a ruby of great price, a pearl of great price, something that the Spirit of God struck a chord in your heart. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326. Make sure to press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll bring you right into the broadcast directly. I was very touched, very heartwarmed by what we shared here today. I'm going to go ahead and put my headphones on because we've got our first caller coming in from area code 605, our dear friends in South Dakota, Ken and Kathy. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yeah, that was quite a history lesson about the Indian Squanto. And a long time ago, my grandson in public school, they did a history on that. And he was kidnapped at one time from the area of America at that time, and he was taken to England, and he learned, he was educated, and then the whole story is very fascinating. Then he was put back to his tribe of people, and then when the pilgrims came, he was used by God to help because he could speak the language.
Don't you think that's absolutely phenomenal that in the mind of God, that God had prepared that whole thing? That is absolutely amazing.
Yes. So anyway, that was, yes, we have a lot to be thankful for in this country. And so all I can say is that the hearts of the people are turned toward God at this time and all the time.
Kathy, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about giving God thanks for just one thing that comes to your mind right now? What would you like to give thanks to God for?
Well, I would say my health. At my age, I'm thankful to God for my health.
Beautiful. And that is perfect. And I know that you're going to keep counting all the blessings. You're going to sit around a table with your family and your friends. You're going to see your children, your grandchildren. And what a glorious time for you and your family. And you'll be giving thanks in your heart for each one of them. And thanks for the years that you've been married. How long have you and Ken been married?
It will be this December, 57 years.
So this December, in less than a month or so, you're going to be giving through an anniversary 57 years with the same man. I saw the pictures of your wedding the day you guys got married and you went on your honeymoon, and here you are, and you're going to be looking across the table at that handsome man of yours, saying, Lord, look what the Lord has done. So there's a lot more to give thanks for, Kathy. God bless you. I wish you a terrific week and whatever you're preparing for this Thanksgiving. And thanks for sharing. And yes, the Squanto reality is amazing. God bless you, dear lady.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to all of yours. And we will be gathering tomorrow. We'll be sharing some other things that we could be talking about. What about you? Maybe there's something in your heart you'd like to just share right now, just one thing you'd like to give thanks to God for. Why not confess it, make it public? It's a public celebration. And the number to call, 818-369-0326. Is there something you really want to give God thanks for? I mean, is there anything there that you just want to say, you know what, I want to thank God for this? And I know that you probably have many things to give thanks to God for, but what is that one thing that you would like to give thanks to God for today? Our next call coming in, 479-366. Good morning. You're on the air. I'm sorry?
The anointing.
The anointing. You want to give thanks to God for the anointing.
Yes. The river, the living river that we're to step into and go as deep as it'll take us.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for that. God bless you. So all
You're
these
welcome.
Years.
On,
yeah. Well, thank you for that. What a great, great response. You know, being thankful for the anointing, I guess. Man, you're talking about eternal things when you talk about that. So that probably encompasses a lot. All right. So we have the Thanksgiving for health in one dear sister, another Thanksgiving for the anointing, the eternal presence of God in our life that's going to bring us beyond everything back to eternal life. That's awesome. How about you? Just one thing you'd like to give thanks to God for publicly in your life. The number to call is 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad, and let's give that Thanksgiving. And you're going to probably spend the rest of today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, thinking of all the things that God has done in your life that you really can offer a Thanksgiving to. Maybe you've gone through some harsh seasons in your life. Maybe you've had some troublesome times. Maybe you've been through something. But you, like those pilgrims, went through. You've endured. You've remained. What would you like to thank God for? 818-369-0326. Publicly over the airwaves is an awesome thing to do. It's an opportunity to really get the word out there and testimony. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into it. I can't imagine that there are people out there that can't think of anything to give thanks for. I'm sure that you have something. Don't wait for anybody else. Be the first one to call in. At this moment, we're looking for your call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll go ahead and keep doing that. So we want to make that available to you, and it looks like we have that same number calling back again. You can't give two, only one, 479-366. You're on the air.
I have a lot to be thankful for, but another one that just
No, you only have
Max, we prayed this morning that Max would be found, and he was found, and I'm just that little guy, his family, and he's kingdom, and I'm so thankful he was found.
I am too, Carla. Thank you. God bless you for that.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
I'll tell that story in just a little bit. Yeah, little Maxie. But let's take this call coming in from 479-321. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. What are you thankful for?
I am thankful for God sparing my life three times before I was even a Christian.
Wow. What
really
happened?
One time I was hunting wild turkey. I sent some moose hunters up on the ridge, and I was down on the creek bed. I said, don't fire into the creek bed. But somebody did. It went right by my ear.
Oh, my gosh.
And no shotguns. There's always a few that wander. So there could have been some that wandered right into my eyeballs. But I think there was an angel going poop, poop, you know, knocking them out of the way. I swear, man. Another time, a guy took a shot at me while I was antelope hunting. And I heard it go bang, bang. I talked to a Vietnam vet in our church there, and he said, yeah, when it goes bang, bang, it went by just by your ear.
Wow.
And another time, I was on my way to hunting in that same turkey place, and I'm coming around this day, and I'm doing 55, I think. And there were thousands of little frogs all over the road, and
yeah.
I started sliding on them. But I somehow straightened out.
My God,
I didn't
three
times. Yeah, at least three. Plus some other close calls. So I'm very thankful that he gave me the opportunity to know his son, Jesus Christ.
Well, amen. Thank you for that. I thought it was very interesting that the first salvation you talked about was involving a turkey. Wild
yeah.
turkey. That's really good. Well,
yeah.
thank you for sharing that. God bless your heart. I appreciate that. That's
thank
awesome.
You.
And you have a happy Thanksgiving.
Right.
I know you will. God bless. And we've got a friend calling in that's listening to us right now on their iPad or phone, and he says that his giving thanks for God's will and provision and divine appointments. Divine appointments and provision. How about you? You're listening to the broadcast right now. Anything you'd like to share? Anything you'd like to just say, you know what? And you know what giving thanks does for things, by the way? It refreshes our memory, and it reminds us just how great God has been in our lives and the things we need to give thanks for. So let me move forward here just a little bit further. Take this call, 858-864-8714. Patricia Joy Xavier's on the air. Good morning, my love. What do you want to
Good
give thanks
morning.
To?
I want to give thanks to him for all the wonderful things that he has given us. We are in a beautiful atmosphere. He has given us an incredible church with incredible people. And
yes.
beyond all of that, I have an incredible husband with an incredible dog named Max. And I have my health, and I have him with me always through the Holy Spirit. I couldn't be more grateful.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is where double honor comes in, because you've been serving the Lord for over 30 years. You're only supposed to tell one thing, but you get the double honor, and you told about seven things, and that's awesome. And I think the greatest thing is how happy you are for your husband. That's amazing. And
absolutely.
That's right. Well, Patricia, it really is. I trust that you heard what I was sharing about Thanksgiving and the origins and the history. And I don't know if your heart was moved as my heart was moved, but I really genuinely felt a depth of Thanksgiving. I mean, to really understand where this is all, where it began, and hopefully where it's all going to bring us.
My heart was very, very moved by it, but also broken. Because I realized that the millennials, and even some people prior to the millennials, are not getting this information in their history books. It's been taken out, and it's been totally taken away from their thoughts and understanding of what kind of country they have been raised in. And because of that, they could be easily swayed in the wrong direction through deception. And my heart does break over that. It really, truly does. When you lose your history, you lose everything. And, you know, one thing I thought of also in the when the Israelis or Israel was in Egypt, they were there for 400 years, weren't they?
Oh, my God. I knew there was a connection with the 400-year thing. And
I have to figure that out by the Holy Spirit. Ask him to show us.
Absolutely. Man, oh, man. That's good stuff.
Yep.
That's good.
Okay.
We need to look into that. Way to go, girl. God bless you. Love you. And you know what I'm thankful for? I've got 60 seconds to share it, and then I got to go off the air. I'm thankful for everything, like you are. I'm thankful that I have the greatest chef in the kitchen. Patricia is an amazing cook, and I know that we're going to share this Thanksgiving with friends and family. We're going to talk more about it today, but I am thankful for you. thankful for the body of Christ, our little church, New Wine Ministries, and all the people that show up along the way. Great congregation, and we are honored and privileged, and truly we are blessed to be able to serve in whatever capacity in this house. We got to go. See you tomorrow. Shalom. God bless. Arrivederci.